But we have a story. A story that needs to be told. A story that needs to be heard and reheard and heard again. A story that's recorded for us in the pages of Holy Scripture. A story that is told to us by the Apostle John in the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. Now, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside of the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. May the Lord bless this, a portion from his holy word. Now, I'm probably the only person in this room who didn't know this. I didn't realize this until I was getting ready for this sermon today. But John switches tenses in the 20th chapter. And he uses the historical present tense. You all probably knew that, didn't you? Okay, well, maybe I wasn't the only one who didn't realize that. He switches tenses here, and he goes to the historical present tense, which doesn't mean anything for us in the English language because we don't have a historical present tense. But it is a tense that they use in the Greek that kind of sets things apart. We have the only rough equivalent that we have in the English is when we are talking about something that is absolutely absurd, we use the wrong tense, such as, "I wish I were the King of England," using the "were" instead of "was," because it's so outrageous it's not possible, and so we use the wrong tense. Well, that's what this is it's the use of the wrong tense. It's using something that has happened, but speaking of it in the present tense. And the reason that they do that is to say that this is something that has historical implications. This is something that we need to think about, and we need to think about it happening in the present tense. You know, we use that wonderful phrase, "He is risen." He is risen indeed. We don't say he was risen or he has risen. We say he is risen. That's our way of saying the historical present. And so it is an event that has happened, but it is an event that needs to be re-experienced and re-known and to see it in fresh eyes as if it happened this very mourning. And we need to respond to that good news as if we were the first disciples to hear that word being told to us. I read an interesting article not too long ago. And in this article, this fellow was saying the reasons why he doesn't believe in the Christian faith. And one of the reasons that he said was, he said, I don't believe in the resurrection. Because if it were true, Christians would be shouting it from the rooftops. And at first I thought, well, you know, he makes a good point there. It is such an astounding message, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it seems as if we ought to be climbing up to the rooftops and shouting it out. But on the other hand, sometimes good news is so deep that we have to allow it to sink in, and we have to allow it the opportunity to kind of settle in and to ponder it and to think about its implications. I mean, if I won the lottery, which I can't do since I don't buy lottery tickets, but if I were to win, there's that use of the English again, if I were to win the lottery, I don't think the first thing I'd do is be shouting from the rooftop. I'd be like, check those numbers again, and I'll check those numbers again, and then I'll check the numbers again, and I'll go on the website and make sure I had the right numbers and the newspaper didn't have them wrong, and I would check them all over again, and then after I was convinced that they were the right numbers, I might give Gene Rosen a call and say, Gene, what would I do with all this money? And I'd get advice, and I would get insight, and I'd try and figure it all out, and I'd be trying to fathom what it all means, and trying to take it all in. Well, that's the way it is with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe we're not inclined to shout it from the rooftop, because we're still letting it sink in. We're still trying to figure out what it means. That's okay. That's all right. I mean, you listen to that text from the 20th chapter of John. You had three people there, and they had three different reactions to what was going on. You had the Apostle John, who was the first one to get to the tomb, and for whatever reason, he didn't want to go into the tomb. I can give you a few reasons why I wouldn't go into a tomb, but got to the tomb, and he just kind of poked his head and go, yeah, okay, there's the claws. And then you got Peter, who rushes right in and you know, oh, yeah, there's the, yeah, okay, everything's here but Jesus. And you hear their reaction is that they saw that and they believed. But John tells us that they still didn't get it. They didn't put the whole picture together. So it's okay if Peter and John don't get the whole picture, and it takes them a while for it to sink in, it takes them a while for it to all fit together and make some sense, it's okay for us too. Because sometimes we have to see it in the big picture. There's a young woman that I know by the name of Megan Bush. Just somebody that I deeply admire. And I got a message from Megan just a week or two ago. And you have to know this about Megan. She has been through a lot in her life. Her husband is a wounded combat veteran and is a paraplegic. Her son died as a toddler from a terrible accidental death. In the emptiness of their lives, they decided they had too much love and they wanted to share that love, and they adopted a hard-to-place child from Haiti who had terrible physical problems and was never going to be adopted, but they adopted her, and she passed away this past year. I got this message from Megan. She wanted me to know that she was going to buy a sign, a placard, for her children. And the placard was going to say, "He is risen." And I thought, she's getting the big picture. She sees what this story is all about. That little placard was not exactly going to be shouting from the rooftop, but it was going to be a quiet declaration. A declaration that Jesus Christ is alive. A quiet declaration that the tomb is empty. A quiet declaration, and a decoration that death has been conquered for us. My friends, we have won the lottery. We have won the lottery. Jesus Christ is alive. You don't have to go home and shout that from the mountaintops. You don't have to throw open the sashes of your windows and shout it at every neighbor as they pass by. But let it sink in. Let it become a part of who you are and how you perceive life. Let the good news become a part of your going out and your coming in. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, no matter what life throws at us, we have that good news. That when it's all said and done, life wins. When it's all said and done, God's love conquers all. Amen. Would you pray with me? Almighty, never loving God, what good news we have. It's almost unfathomable. It's almost too hard to believe. But it is your good news that your Son, Jesus Christ, has conquered death for us so that we might live with you forever and ever. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to ponder this mystery in our hearts and in our lives so that we might come to see the full picture of the height and the depth and the breadth of your love toward each and every one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name.